Welcome to the Hospitality Podcast.
Where's the lamb sauce?
Come on, man.
I just need a...
This is the lamb
sauce. Where's the lamb sauce?
Presented by Arthur Gomez.
God damn, I just spent $8,000 on some f***ing wine.
And Quentin Wind.
What are you?
An idiot sandwich.
So pour yourself a glass, because we're diving into the world of restaurants, kitchen, and bar. The Hospitality Podcast.
Hey, welcome back, everybody.
What's up, guys? We're here. We're back again. And today we've got an absolute unique guest, and it is Lucy Charles from Borough Market. She's actually the director of operations there. We're going to go deep down of her position that she has in Borough Market, what she does, and also, obviously, her journey to become a director of operations.
And so for today's podcast, we're going to try a really nice wine from Boutari Nausa, who is coming from Nausa, so the region in Greece. It's 100% Xinomavro. Don't know if you already tried these grapes.
No. What would you compare it to?
I would say a Pinot Noir. Same style. It's like very juicy, but kind of rich at the same time.
Okay.
Quite complex. Thank you again to Westbury.com who sent us this bottle.
But yeah, hang on with us and welcome Lucy. So Lucy, obviously with the other guests that we've had, they're very more on the floor. They've been more into wine in bars and chefs. For you is much more in terms of what you do is more operation, but for a charitable trustee, which is it's not everyone, you know, that has that opportunity.
Yeah.
And you've been nearly 10 years with Borough Market.
Yeah, nearly. Yeah, nine now.
Yeah. Nine, yeah. You're going to celebrate the 10th, hopefully.
Absolutely. When I get there, if I make it to 10.
What was the first job for the company?
So I went into Borough as an events manager.
Okay, nice.
Having kind of, and we can talk about this a bit more later, I've sort of fallen into the events industry in London.
Okay.
I didn't grow up in London. I sort of came and lived here after uni. And I'd actually spent some time out and I'd done a bit of travelling and wrote a cookbook. And then I came and started at Borough in events because that was kind of my background. But I actually was a kind of bit of a sliding doors moment. I nearly didn't do it because I actually wanted to leave event. That was my experience I'd built up. And I wanted to work more directly in food and drink.
Okay.
And I was looking at an internship at a food magazine at the time and really didn't know what to do. And I was kind of on a recipe writing course actually at the time. And somebody there said, go for Borough. Just go. You'll meet the best people. Just go for it. And I was like, okay. So, because I got phoned about the Blue Out, about the opportunity. And I was like, oh, I don't want to work at events anymore. So no worries. And when they said it was at Borough. So it's almost a kind of happy accident that I ended up there actually. And then I'm on about my fifth job title at Borough now, I think.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Having said yes to sort of everything in the last 9 years.
Do you want to go through them?
I worked in events and then that was all growing. So Borough Market is a charitable trust,
mm-hmm.
but it has a business subsidiary, Borough Market Business Limited. And that was set up because the trust has started to use some of this market space to do events. It's also a great location for filming. Mm-hmm. So there was this kind of ancillary income starting to come in. As a charity, obviously, we're not a profit-making entity. So having a business subsidiary, it enabled us to do sort of commercially profitable activities and feed that money back into the charity. So I sort of built an events team and then was head of events or something. And we were making, you know, quite a lot of income on that at that time. And then sort of growing all of the commercial aspects. So it was events, it was filming, it was consultancy, actually. It was Borough Market and the brand and kind of lots of ancillary sort of names and things are trademarked, so trademark licensing. And then we opened a retail store as well. So I kind of worked on that project. So it used to be a kind of little market office and we sold a couple of jute bags and tea towels and things. And then turned that whole space into a proper retail store, which is kind of really honed what it is now, actually. And it's
Borough Kitchen, right?
No. Like it's our little store. We have a great kitchenware store, which is Borough Kitchen.
Yeah.
And I can take no credit for that, I'm afraid. but we have a kind of store which still serves as a sort of information point for us as well, and sort of meet and greet space. But it's a retail store just through the sort of at the back of Padella restaurant.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that's kind of all of our own branded merchandise, essentially, and cookbooks and things. And it's a kind of really great, but like limited range. It's all like ancillary to shopping and cooking, which is obviously kind of what we're there to help people do. So I headed up the commercial arm, and then I'd always worked for the then director of operations in those roles, and then sort of moved things around a little bit at the end of 2019, and I was starting to take on more operational responsibility to help him as well. So because the commercials I was running pretty well, and we kind of, there's a ceiling on how much you can do there on that front around the day-to-day running of the market, which will always be the priority obviously there. So, you know, getting more involved in the operation and, you know, security and the cleaning and the day-to-day running and trader management. And I'm kind of a yes person anyway, but, you know, at Borough Market, it's a good place to be a yes person because the opportunity for learning has just been phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, and then that was sort of the end of 2019. And then, of course, at the beginning of 2020, we all know what happened. And I sort of found myself being fairly kind of crucial player in keeping the place going because it never closed during the pandemic. So I was on the ground with all the traders for the entire, I mean, I've actually never worked so much, you know, like I kept getting sent pictures of like friends and people like the best summer we've had in years. Like, oh, in their paddling pool and I'm having another cocktail at 4 p.m. I was like,
good for you.
And we're not the same experience as we were kind of working out like different 50,000 different iterations of running that space with all of the like restrictions and social distancing and everything like that. So it's kind of been, when I look back over the last 9 years, it's been kind of mad, but in the best possible way. And I've been exposed to the best people, you know, and business owners, and, you know, being around that hospitality and that food and drink environment is perfect for me.
It's great. How big is your team in so part of Borough, the company, so the LTT Borough? How many people are working for the charity fund?
So full-time employees, we're about 45. Now that's across different departments. So that's sort of, you know, compliance, governance, communications, finance, legal. But the operations team is kind of the biggest sector of that. So we have our cleaning team and our security team and then operations managers and then the other sort of responsibility under my role is like trader development and food standards and food policy implementation, things like that. So we have a new kind of development team, which is a team of three, which we formed last year as well. So yeah, there's like about 45 full time, but we do bolster that with quite a lot of agency staff because the on the ground need for security and stewarding and that kind of thing is high.
So that picture, 45, when you think of how big big market is, the diversity of things to do in the market, and it's mind-blowing because there's little things that you never think of that happens behind the, you know, the behind the scenes. And because I grew up with the market, and when you see from what it was before till now, it's just obviously like it's crazy. You see that there's a team behind it, and it's growing and it's doing really well, and it's, you know, it's just thriving, especially recently. I think recently Borough Market really stepped up their game with the new restaurants they've put in as well. I have to say, like, hats off, because they're really good. I've done most of them and multiple times, and it's just now Borough Market has become like a place to go in the evening, whereas before it was only pubs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've got a really impressive portfolio of restaurants. Lots of kind of big drawn. You know, we've got the big development of Borough Yards adjacent to us now as well. And there's lots of restaurants going there. Without a doubt, Borough Market is a massive draw for kind of any food, beverage, like business that wants to go into that area. But yeah, no, we're really proud, actually. Yeah. It's a really nice thing to be able to stand back and look at.
And keep off the big, I would say, the big chains out.
Yeah.
We're always going to get one or two that's going to try and get as close as possible. But within the Borough Market, in a way, that circle, it's the choices of restaurants are just amazing.
Yeah. And there's for the ones that come into Borough Market own properties, and it is a sort of slightly complicated kind of map of what is owned by the trust and what isn't. You've got United St Saviour's, a sister charity there, and you've got Network Rail, who, between the three of us, really are kind of the biggest kind of owners. And then, of course, Borough Yards. But they do go, the ones that come into our properties do go through a really lengthy application process. We ask for a lot. Our criteria on a proposal to get into one of those properties is high, and it's all aspects of their business. So it's not just about whether you're creating really delicious food. It's about your approach to environmental sustainability, your approach to your team, what are you going to do for the local community? And there is lots of things that those businesses have to consider and are scored against to get in there. And actually, the threshold is pretty high. So there are lots that apply that on the surface you would think, oh, great, yeah, lovely. And actually, it's sometimes really interesting to read. And you think, that's not going to work here, actually. So you really have to be, you don't, well, the restaurants do more say probably are going to be a bit of a finished article with our traders that come into the market. They go through an application process which is aligned, and you don't have to be the finished article, but you do need to be thinking about all of the things that fall under our food policy, and we'll work with you to get you wherever you're not quite at the moment.
Did you always doing the selection of all the different business inside Borough Market, or you have a team?
Yeah, it's a team effort. So there's a you know, a kind of fairly strong process in place to protect it from being any one person's decision. So all applications will be scored by a panel, which is made up across the management team, but it'll be different departments and different levels within the organisation who are trained on how to score those proposals, and then they will kind of all be collated. And usually there's, you know, really clear answers in there actually most of the time. And if there isn't, we'll have a meeting and we'll sort of go, why is that anomaly there? You know, why did that happen? And then obviously, you know, there's other things about it, you know, financials and business plans and all the rest of it as well. And, you know, practical feasibility, but it's not any one person's decision.
Is that what? Yeah, that makes sense. Is it the new restaurant? What's the name of the restaurant? It's Greek, actually.
Omar.
Is it Borough? Part
yes.
of Borough?
Yeah.
You've been, Quentin?
Yeah.
I didn't. That part is great.
Yeah, it looks. I really enjoyed it. I need to do the ground floor.
Agora.
Yeah, Agora.
Yeah, it's kind of more booking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed the food.
It's a really nice addition. Yeah.
I did a little bit of maths recently. So obviously, as a trader at Borough Market, we receive the footfall every week.
Yeah.
So I just counted a little bit of the footfall over the year. I know how many, there's about 100 traders, maybe a little bit
120,
more. 120. Divided. So I won't say what the calculation is. I'll just go to the point. It's not very super precise, but it gives you like a little bit of an idea. But I was comparing the sales that we do as a company, what the percentage that represents out of 100% of the whole market. I got that online from, I think the CEO, she said that on the website.
Yeah.
But yeah, guess the percentage, our percentage of sales out of the 120 stores. What would you say?
120 stores?
Yeah.
I don't remember Comptoir. Where's Comptoir in Borough?
And we got one of the stores.
It's big?
It's normal. They've got one of the cages, basically.
Like, yeah. So, I don't know.
What do you think?
I mean, it should be 1% or under, right? If we were living in that place. But I'm really interested to know this. I wish everyone worked with it, actually.
It was, yeah, so it was 0.43.
I was about to say one.
It is really interesting. And actually, it would be great if we could get to a stage where we could kind of use our data to compare it with yours. And we publish the footfall to businesses. It's a kind of trend indicator as much as anything.
Yeah.
And actually, we're looking at systems all the time at the moment, which might increase our ability to use it as more of a tool and have a bit more data analysis and occupancy and things like that as well. There's some really smart technology out there. But it's funny because I've had so many traders say to me, don't tell me what the footfall is. I haven't sold anything this week, you know, we have phenomenal footfall, but it doesn't always equate to a really solid sales day for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
We were saying earlier, it can depend on the weather. It can depend on the time of day that people come. If it rains in the morning, certain products will really suffer. But if the sun comes out in the afternoon, you'll sell like all of the ice cream, all of the sweet treats, whatever it is. So it's really... it's inconsistent. I think broadly, and I hope broadly everyone is doing pretty well. But it's not a kind of exact science, and it's still not predictable either, is it?
You'd think it would be a higher number, but it just makes sense that it doesn't.
It's kind of fun to take. And that, I think, is the thing. One of our biggest challenges there at the moment is actually the number of people coming. Like, it seems on the surface like a good problem to have. It does present us some really massive challenges at the moment because it's... this great thing has been created and people want to come to it, right?
Yeah,
and they are in their masses and in their kind of tens of thousands at the weekends. And but it's always interesting to see, you know, who just wanders through, who's just come in for some free samples, spending money.
Yeah.
Is there a way you can filter them? You know, because in an ideal world, we'd have this really lovely space, which is really comfortable all the time, full of people that were only spending money. But that's kind of not how it works. But I mean, you know, thinking about future planning of the site and its resilience, and is this footfall going to keep increasing, and how will we cope with that, and what's really most valuable to the businesses and the businesses that we want to support. You know, there is this rise with social media of these, you know, viral products, which, you know, so you get a huge density of people coming for like five things.
Yeah.
And we've got, you know, thousands of like incredible things to choose from there. So, I mean, arguably once someone's got to the market, they're going to find all of that.
Yeah.
So it's quite difficult to find your way around sometimes, but.
Yeah. What's the busy spot in Borough? The shop or like the... the restaurant everybody's going is always busy. You say like the strawberries.
We've got a few products which people always ask for. So, you know, there has been a mass kind of social media support for chocolate covered strawberries in the last year or two. Crumbles are popular. Pork sandwiches are popular. Donuts are popular.
Risotto.
You know, risotto, paella. Actually, cheese toasties. But the street food is what kind of gets that viral attention and what brings in loads and loads of people. So I'm always conscious to think about how the butcher's doing, how the greengrocer's doing, who are the shoppers of tomorrow, that kind of thing. We're always trying to balance that there because that's kind of at the heart of what we do and how Borough started out. And, you know, especially sort of, you know, it was wholesale actually, but, you know, for the last 25 plus years now, it's been kind of this retail shopping mecca, if you like.
Yeah.
Sort of how do we retain that? Whilst balancing it, probably the need to supply some people with what they want. It's really interesting and it's never boring. So.
Yeah. And what I find incredible with Borough Market, obviously it's been, I'd say about 15 to 20 years, where 15 years that market, street food has been like on the uprise. And only about 5 years ago where there was maybe a bit too many markets and it started to be a bit saturated, a bit too many, first of all, too many street food market and too many stalls, and just people, markets started dying because there's obviously people going to other ones than their local ones, and Borough Market kept on stepping up really. So was that one of your fears at that point? Or
I think it's, I mean, for whatever reason, and I do think actually it's a lot down to the place, because lots of people have tried to replicate what we do at Borough Market, but there's a sort of man, and it sounds stupid, there's a magic about that site and that place, and no one has been able to recreate that, I don't think. And I love going to other markets, and if I'm on holiday, I have to go to the markets and everything else. And there's just nowhere, it's the same idea or it's a similar composition, but it's never the same. There is something about Borough for sure, but it's definitely an ongoing, it's on our radar all the time. We used to be the only place to come for certain products, and people would, on a Saturday morning, they would travel across, they would get in their car. One, there was no congestion charge. Two, they could park nearby. It just wasn't the same proposition. And they would do it because they couldn't get those products anywhere else. But now there is a produce market in like most boroughs of London on a Saturday morning or a Sunday morning or both. So why do you need to travel anymore? Who wants to, who wants to carry 6 to 10 kilos of fresh produce on the tube? Nobody. So there's some major challenges in that kind of growth of markets. On the other hand, if you think about markets generally and market shopping versus kind of supermarkets and the quality of the products and the quality of the interactions you can have while you're buying them, and the ethos behind the sourcing, it's really, really good if there's more markets that people are shopping in, because as a collective, that's a good thing for all of us. I think markets should be the future. I think we need to circle back on this a bit and get away from some of the kind of mass basis shopping that we've come to know. And the street food markets are difficult as well. There was probably a bit of a tipping point. Having said that, people still have wars for that. So it's not, and I also think that in recent years with like cost of living crisis and lots of challenges for people in lots of ways, street food enables you to go out, have something hopefully really quite delicious, feed your family with something really quite delicious that you haven't had to make yourself at home, but it's not the bill that you're going to get if you sit down in a restaurant. I think that's a real challenge for restaurants actually, and it's be interesting to hear from restaurateurs how they felt about the rise of street food, because it isn't the same. It isn't the same proposition, so it shouldn't be a competitor. But I wonder if when people are thinking about how they're going to spend their money each month, if you go and you can treat yourself to that, and it's just much more, and you can like graze and safari, everyone wants to try a bit of everything.
I think it's going to the right direction, or now we can see a bit more, as we said before, like farm markets. I feel like it's great, like, you know, during a certain time, a few years ago, it was very, people was a bit scared about everybody's going industrial, like in big supermarket. Well, I feel like the direction we're taking is pretty nice. We're like we're getting back to the basic of going to the farm market, going to small producer.
You know, one, I do think lots of us are still ruled by convenience, right? So actually that's good for hospitality and eating out and everything like that. It's easier to do that if you can afford to do it. But also there's people who don't know how to cook or they haven't done for generations. I wasn't actually taught to cook at school and I can cook because my mum taught me to cook. But actually, if you don't know how to do that, you're definitely not going to go to a market to buy ingredients because what are you going to do with them? And or have you got the facilities to do it? We live in flats. We all have busy jobs. We don't have time. It's like this multi, which we're certainly not trying to solve that by a market. But actually, if we can, we have really nice partnerships with organisations like School Food Matters, where primary school children come along and they learn how to grow things and then they learn how to sell them back at the market and then they learn how to cook them and they learn about waste. Also, they come to the market and they might otherwise, they might, you know, live and go to school really like 10, 15 minutes down the road that they might otherwise not come, and they're the people that we're going to need shopping there in 10 years time and understanding what to do with it all. And I think I'm encouraged and I'm optimistic about where we're going, and I do think there's a kind of slow but sure return back to understanding ingredients in food a bit better. But I think we can all do to help that along its way, I think would be
good. I'm hoping that, because it is quite scary when stuff like online TV or things like this where people don't know how to cook. The worst thing about it is anything that's processed and ultra processed is much cheaper than true.
There's even some country coke is cheaper than water. You know, this kind of example. Which is like kind of like, scary in 2024.
It's powers way above us that need to do something about that. If they were willing to, but obviously it's political hotbed of issues there, isn't there? But we can do our little bit, and that's what we're trying to do at Borough Market, is do the right thing in the right way, be exemplary, help and spread it where we can, hope that all the businesses there want to do the same thing, make positive changes in our little corner of where we are, and hopefully that kind of there's a ripple effect from that, and then the more people start doing that, it joins up, then see where we all end up. But
it's part of your criteria, for example, when someone wants to take a new spot in Borough Market, is it the focus on environment like a big criteria for you in Borough?
It's pretty important to us, but it's all aspects of sustainability. So it's not just environmental, which is where people tend to go straight to. It's social sustainability as well. Mm. So it's a real kind of multifaceted thing for us, whilst also understanding the balance that's needed for a business to be financially sustainable and commercially viable. So there's lots, but it is important for us.
Back to your job position. Mm. What is your favourite moments? And your least, not moments, but you know what I mean. What do you like the most about your job? And what do you like the least? Not that you hate, obviously.
In many ways, I'm sure lots of people think of it as like it's a dream job. The best job in the world.
It sounds like a dream job.
How have I ended up here? It was not planned. And when I look back, actually, at my whole working life and everything I've done, actually, it's all been really useful to get me to this point, because I've always, even if it was my first job around school, it was at a hotel, like waitressing. It's hospitality. It's always been hospitality for me, actually, in like restaurants and bar work, and then events, actually, and frontline in events. And so it's all got here. But when I think about what I do now, my favourite thing is being around the traders, the business owners. Mm. Like, it's so incredibly inspiring. And I've been exposed to so many. You said earlier, we've got such a kind of diverse set of businesses and people. I have met the most wonderful people, and I've made forged relationships which I will have with me forever. And the people really make it for me. And there's too many examples to mention. There have been days at Borough when I've thought to myself, am I getting paid for this today?
Yeah.
Like, it's just so good. And I've been, going to events like Terra Madre, which takes place every couple of years in Italy, big slow food event, meeting people from all across the globe who are doing incredibly inspirational things. I mean, I just came back and I was, oh my God, it's brilliant. That feeling of being inspired. I've learned so much in my role, and I'm reading and I'm trying to understand. I have a busy day today, but I'm trying to read around food and the food system, and it's complicated, and sustainability and all of these different subjects that I have learned so much about. And I know a little bit about lots of things because I'm required to for my job, but I really appreciate that, because I've carried lots of that into my personal life as well. And I feel better off for it. So I feel really lucky to have had the exposure that I've had. What's the worst thing? I spend a lot of time thinking about drainage and broken infrastructure and bins. And I go on holiday and I will find bins and I will take a picture and I'll be like, that's a good set of bins. And then I'm like, what has happened to me? Like, how have I ended up on holiday taking pictures of bins? Like, okay, we went wrong somewhere. But anyway, yeah, so I think, and I do, you know, it is an incredible site there, but it's old, and we're doing this incredibly modern operation on incredibly old infrastructure. Dealing with, we had this massive, there was a massive fatberg in that built up in one of the roads, just a combination of like loads of stuff going down the drains, obviously like Victorian sewer system, us doing loads of stuff on top of it, not designed for it, fatberg. One of the basements of one of our buildings flooded quite spectacularly. Anyway, and it pushed like raw sewage up the basement.
Oh my.
I will never forget that smell. I will never. That will be with me forever. And then you're like, again, I'm like, cool. This is nice. But yeah, I think what I love about the whole thing and the pandemic there was an incredibly, incredibly tough time. I mean, it was tough for everybody in lots of different ways. That was the most challenging time there. But now I'm kind of, you can throw lots of things at me and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not flipping it all blasé about it. I just don't, it just doesn't really, nothing really stresses me out because I'm just like, okay. Oh, that's on fire, is it? Okay, we'll just fix that. Okay. It makes you really...
Well, especially COVID. Yeah. COVID for 2-3 years has just been very tough.
Yeah.
And talking about like problems like this, obviously before COVID, there was the terrorist attack. Yeah. That must have been something as well in terms of events, how to cooperate with the police, with the government, and and after the aftermath as well. How do you bring back tourists? And how was that?
That was obviously... horrendous in 2017, and I was working for Borough then. I wasn't there that night, funnily enough. I was supposed to be and I wasn't there, you know, it's one of those, but lots of people have those. But I was there in the immediate aftermath actually, and myself and actually the ops director at the time were the only two people that could go on site for a bit, and we had to put an immediate cordon round. I think, to be honest, in that scenario we were running on pure adrenaline and we were closed for 10 days. 11 days actually, and we couldn't get in, and then we were trying to get people to site, and there was things going off in fridges, and there was loads of logistics. And I have to say, meeting the SA15, which was the counter-terror police team who are sent in to deal with the aftermath of those events, that was great. They were like one of the nicest groups of people I've worked with in my whole time there. They were phenomenally nice. When you think about the job they're doing, I don't know how they... and the things that they see and the things that they have to process, I don't know how they do it. And I had the utmost respect for them. And they were so great to work with. And they could have been really difficult and they could have made life more difficult. And they didn't. They were really great. And I'm working with the police and Southwark Council. And I suppose my tendency is to go, what I'm going to take from this, and it's horrendous, is that I've learned loads of stuff. So much exposure to so many things. Yeah. It was ridiculous. You don't ever think you'll find yourself in that situation. And it was the best learning experience. But the other thing about it was one of those times where it actually brought out the best in everyone. So it's a shame, isn't it, sometimes that the worst of things has to happen to bring people together.
Yeah.
Because most of the time we're busy doing our own thing and everything's annoying and everyone else is annoying and I want this and I want this and all the rest of it. And at a time like that, everyone was aligned and we all worked together. We had really neighbourly relationships. Everyone was pulling in the same direction. There was no doubt about it. And actually the support that came out for the place and the traders, financially, morally, like whatever it was, emotionally, was overwhelming in the best possible way. It brought people together. And you really felt that when we reopened. Unfortunately, it was a horrible year that year.
Yeah.
And the day that we reopened the market, I remember being in a taxi. It was like, I don't know, 5 a.m. or something. In the taxi on the way to work, and the news about Grenfell was breaking because that happened the day that we were reopening, because we had loads of press coming for the reopening because we'd had such major support and they were all diverted to that. Again, that was just horrific, another horrific thing happening. It was a really weird time, and Westminster Bridge attack had happened a lot before. So it was a really weird time, but I would say that actually, like, my overarching good memory about that is how it brought the community together.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. It was nice.
That's it. When you take life for granted and then you just something like that and you just realise, wow, okay.
Yeah. And it's difficult. And I know that we just passed the anniversary and you can't underestimate the long lasting effects that something like that has on people. And we don't forget that.
Yeah.
But it was a unifying thing all at the same time.
Is there like things, lessons or any advice that you would give to anyone that
you would love to be in your shoes, basically? Just simple advices, things that you've learned that you can give to anyone who's looking to be in that same kind of position.
One, be open to opportunities. And it won't always be obvious where it's going to go.
Yeah.
At the beginning, if you're at the beginning of your career, relax. It's okay to not know what you want to do. I work in an industry and a job that is totally unrelated to what I studied and things like that. And it's been absolutely the right path for me. But I could have easily stressed out about that, things like that. So I'd say, one, have a little bit of like faith, go with your instincts.
Mm-hmm.
Say yes to things if you want to. And also know that if you say yes to something and you don't like it, you can change it again.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to take, I took a year out. Once, like before I started this stage of my career, and that was quite scary. And I was lucky to be able to do it. But it was nuts when I look back at it a little bit. But it was totally the right thing to do, and it works. Okay. Mm. You need a really strong work ethic to do this job. It is not a 9-to-5 job. Always think about how you can work smarter and not harder. I've worked some horrific hours, as have lots of people, most people in hospitality, right? But it's horrendous, and that's not sustainable. Look after yourself through the process, I would say, as well. And just try as early as you can to work out a way that you can do it and find some balance, because I've missed lots of things over the years. Family things, friends things, whatever, for work. And that's a personality trait as well, and that's who I am. But I would say always just think, if you absolutely need to do that, or if it'll still be okay if you don't.
Yeah.
You need to be I'm a little bit older now, so I'm a bit more relaxed. But when I was younger, I was like probably fairly fiery, I think is probably a fair word, very high strung. What I would say is always remember the effect that you have on other people, particularly if you manage people. The way that you are and the energy that you're giving off will absolutely go into them. And I'd say you need to be as aware as you can of other people all the time. Always try and remember that everyone's coming at it the way they're coming at it for a reason, and give them some time and space. Mm. You need to have excellent communication skills. No relationships work if you don't have good communication. It doesn't actually matter what area of your life you're talking about.
Yeah.
Communication is key to everything. And expectation management. I find myself saying this a lot. Probably really annoys like friends if I say it, but you do need to do that. And I think probably the other thing that somebody that I worked with very early on in my career, not at Borough, taught me was, it's always okay to say no, but tell them why. Don't just say no, I don't want to, or no, just give a reason and just explain your rationale. But again, that's a communication thing, actually.
Mm.
So I don't know if that's actually helped advice for anyone, but I do think relationship management, upward, downward, sideways, whatever it is, it is how you're going to be happy and how people around you are going to be happy. Be transparent, be honest. If you're leaving somewhere, go out on a good note. Like, it's fine to move on. I've left places in the past where I've been unhappy with things, or I don't like where they're going, or whatever. It's okay. Mm. Just go. Yeah. But you don't have to have a fight about it. You see some spectacular exits.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that'll ever make it easier for you either. So it's relationships, really.
Yeah.
Problems. Yeah.
No, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I thought, have you got...
No, go for it.
Go for it. You said that you had, obviously, one of your favourite parts of working in Borough Market is the relationship with the stall holders and business owners. Have you had relationships where it went a bit the other way, where it never really went down, and it's just one of those where, how would you say it, they never really followed what Borough Market stands for?
It's a historical place with lots of people who've been there for a long time, and there's a lot of emotion tied up in a place like that from lots of people.
Yeah.
Myself included. And I think, one of my favourite things is the relationship with tenants, but it can also be one of the most difficult things, because actually, at the end of the day, we're a landlord and tenants, and you're not always going to come at things from the same point of view. And actually, that's okay. It's about finding, it's about navigating ways to go. We are not going to agree with each other, and actually, we are going to make a decision anyway, or whatever it is. But there are a couple that are less... I like to think that I have pretty good, positive relationships across the board, but there are some where... sometimes you just can't quite get aligned. Or if the communication breaks down, you know, sometimes it is difficult. I'd say they're interesting to ask the trader body, wouldn't it?
Well,
we get on great. They're like, we hate her.
But that's the, like, obviously we're at Mulby Street Market, and I've met a few of the traders, and some of them, they've only done 2 weeks and they're gone. And for what they said, why they've left. And it's just... everyone have their own reasons, and it does happen quite often. I used to work a lot in markets, and I used to see a lot of stall owners arrive and disappear within the month, and it's all purely because they always have a different reason. I feel like at Borough Market, what's amazing is that it doesn't change a lot. So that's why like it's quite consistent rather than compared to other stalls, different markets that I've been to.
Yeah.
And that's quite amazing because, like you said, it's a key word is the communication.
Yeah.
I think it goes through that a lot. And
There is unavoidably tension sometimes. And there has been between the trust and the trading body. There has been over the years. I don't think you can get around that, but it's a really tough way. I think it's a really tough thing to do. I take my hat off to everyone that gets out there and sets up a stall every day and stands there all day in the hope that they'll sell these stuff and then packs it all down and then comes back and does it the next day. It's hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is at Borough, we don't tend to have a lot of turnover. Not a lot of people leave once they're there. The streets are definitely not paved with gold. It is really hard work. You know, you earn the sales there, but we don't have lots of people leaving. Some people don't want to trade there because actually they think it's too scary because it's so busy and
really?
Big and well known.
No way. I don't believe you.
Yeah, no, I've had, they name them. I was speaking to a kind of small producer and I was like, have you ever thought about trading it? That was something we didn't have and thought it would be great and we want to incubate fledgling businesses. And I think they actually had just signed something with like Whole Foods or Planet Organic or something like that. The idea of coming to Borough was petrifying to them because they anticipated such demand and it's such a frenetic, busy environment. They were just like, we won't be able to cope. Okay. I mean, you just signed this massive commercial contract. Yeah. How many units
That's
are you going to have to do that?
That's more scary than Borough Market for me.
And my assumption would have been that, but I've always remembered that because I was like, what? But actually it's a useful conversation because it stuck with me. So I'm like, well, how can we overcome that fear? Yeah. And actually, what I ended up doing there was putting them in touch with somebody who already had a stand and that product has gone into there now. So we have it in the market, but we never had them as a standalone offering because it was a kind of fear. So it was fascinating.
That's funny, yeah.
Do you have any shop in the market like there are like since the beginning, like since 20 years, 25 years? Or?
There are a few. There's a greengrocer. Yeah. Brindisi was one of the kind of early founders, Neil's Yard Dairy. So there's some that are along Park Street. And the geography's changed over those.
Oh, yeah.
Over the years. But there are quite a number who have been there for 15, 20 plus years.
Okay.
Still. Some who were at the Food Lovers Fair, which kind of kicked off the modern iteration of what Borough Market is in the late 90s. There's some great footage of that out there somewhere if you find it. And there was farmers, there's cows at the market. There was fairground rides. It was this thing. Yeah, it kind of happened on a Saturday and it was quite good. So they did it another Saturday and Saturday a month and then two Saturdays a month and the rest is history kind of thing. They were, and a few of them through, product change, demand change, retirement or whatever are not there anymore. They would come down and sleep in their vans and they were taking a real chance. They had no idea what they were coming down to from any area of the country where they were producing, fishing, growing, catching, whatever it was. And couldn't stay anywhere. It was rough everywhere. I stayed in the van, set up a trestle table, hoped for the best, got in the van, tried it again. Some of them are still there. And then right up to traders that have joined us within the last couple of years who haven't had to do that, but have got like a whole new set of challenges. And how do you get close to the place to drop something off now? And what do you do? And have a great storage. There's not enough room anywhere for anything,
On Instagram, you have a profile pictures of your dad. Market, is it in Borough Market?
Because
I was like, it looks like Borough Market actually, but the old time.
That was a long time ago, I can't really even remember, probably 25 years old now. But like I said, there was a few stalls back then. And from what I remember, Monmouth was one of them as well.
So Monmouth is that old, kind of?
From what I remember, I can't remember if they were from the beginning, but they were certainly there whilst I was growing up because they had the best coffee in the market.
They are one of the longest.
And
been along here actually as well. Like I remember when I first. Yes.
Because
my first job in London actually was on Bermondsey Street.
No way.
So I've circled back actually to this area. And I remember coming to Maltby when it was like Monmouth.
Yeah.
And like a bit of greengrocer. And so, I mean, just, this, none of this.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is there anything you'd like to say about Borough Market in the next few years and maybe their priority targets that Borough Market are going to be very proud of in the next, like I said, 10 to 20 to 30 years? That's what you're aiming for. Is there anything you can tell us that's where we can look forward to?
We've laid out a strategy for 2030, which is sort of hurtling towards us, actually, but we kind of finalised that. And it's three main pillars of that, which is food, place and voice. Food is our food policy implementation. We've got this food policy, which we're really proud of. We published that in 22. And implementing that, you know, that's the first. I think everyone has an idea of what Borough Market food is.
Mm.
That's actually the first time we've kind of written it down and made it clear. And, you know, that kind of sings our values in there. And actually where we want to be is that we can look across. Because, you know, it is really tough to be a food drink business owner, I think. I think there's so much to think about. And I think you're quite responsible and you are. So in lots of ways. So there's lots in that. And I think it'd be really nice when we hit 2030 to stand back and go, absolutely everyone here is ticking all the boxes of this food policy. Because it's no small ask, actually. And it's complicated. And we'll have to keep reviewing that. That's on the food side. I want people still to be saying we've got to go to Borough because it's the best.
Mm.
And the food there is the best. And I can only get this at Borough, which is, that's the challenging bit, actually, yep. with London the way it is and the food landscape the way it is. I what can we do to maintain a unique identity? I think that's a real challenge. And then the place, it's about preserving the place. So we see ourselves as guardians of that site.
Mm.
We're here to kind of look after it and hand it on to the next team and the next set of traders in the best possible shape. So there's a kind of big kind of whole site development piece that we're looking at the moment, which is looking at the whole area holistically. How are we going to ensure that this is a place that lots of people still want to come to and shop in and feel safe in and can find a community in? And it serves all of those different strands of our strategy. That's hard. So I'm really glad I can say it all. I'd quite like a crystal ball. I'd quite like to know everything that's going to happen around us. It's going to throw some of this off. But we've clear, you know, direction, and the organisational purpose for Borough Market now is for community, the love of food, and a better tomorrow.
That's nice.
Thank you very much, Lisa.
Yeah, thank you very much, Lucy. It was really cool to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, it was very different to what we've had before. Super interesting. But yeah, thank you for listening, guys. And obviously, again, we're available on all the podcast platforms. So if you haven't followed us on Instagram or our social media, just come and see all the reels. We've got some pretty cool ones. If you don't want to listen to the whole podcast, but please listen to it. It's super interesting. A lot to take in and loads of advices as well. So yeah, thank you again for listening, and we'll see you for the next episode.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
The Hospitality Podcast.